This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. It is time now for the NFL News of the Day. And here's Eric Chiafalo with Woolchuck's broadcast responsibilities. Take it away, Chief.
You know, one of the interesting schedule quirks is something that Warren Sharp at Sharp Football Analysis does.
I was just looking at this. The days of rest?
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Rest edges. They call it net rest edges for the season. And basically what net rest is total days of extra rest versus a team's opponents over the course of the season. So, you know, sometimes it'll be, hey, sometimes a team is playing on a short week. Maybe they play on Monday night.
Cincinnati sounds like they're getting screwed on these things.
Is Cincinnati one of the teams?
Yeah.
I mean,
actually, Dallas,
San Francisco's the worst.
Dallas has an advantage over Cincinnati in like day on a rest for their game. I thought it was a plus three.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So every individual week, you know, you may be going into a game on short rest while, like, maybe you played on Monday night. Now you're playing on short rest on Sunday, and the team you're playing just had a bye week.
Yeah.
So how much more of an advantage do they have here, you know, from that standpoint? So it doesn't guarantee you victories, you know, at necessarily. But when you're like a team like Baltimore, they have plus 16 rest advantage versus their opponents throughout the season. The worst in the sport is San Francisco at minus 21. So the schedule makers not doing them any favors. And so we'll see how that, you know, makes for a little bit more of a challenging season. When it comes to the Cowboys are sitting at a plus two. So kind of right there in the, you know, in the average, no real advantage, but they're not getting worked over in a huge way. Like you see some of these teams are. Indianapolis and Denver minus 17. In the rest advantage situation, but San Francisco's the worst at minus 21. Just saw that and thought that was a little bit interesting.
This became a big deal when we started Thursday Night Football, right? This didn't used to be a big thing, right? I mean, it seemed like Dallas.
Yeah, you're probably right. The Thursday Night Football and then wanting to play on every holiday, even if it means like the Chiefs. I know Carter told us yesterday in BetQL where it's like the Chiefs are the first team ever they're going to play a game on 6 of the 7 days of the week. Because they're playing the usual Thursday, Sunday, Monday, but then they're also playing the Saturday. They're playing a Black Friday, and then they're playing Christmas Day on Wednesday. The only thing they're not doing is playing on a Tuesday this year.
Wow.
So, you know, being the NFL saying we want to play on every holiday, we want to play on Fridays, and then, yes, as you mentioned, the Thursday Night Football thing, that really probably started it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they got to go out of their way to feed the beast because of how down TV watching is overall. You know, and live sports on TV is like the number one moneymaker, right? So I think they're, you know, they're not getting greedy here. I think what they're doing is they're trying to survive. That's how I would coin it, you know.
Wow, okay, so you think this is them. They feel like this is a necessity. This isn't us trying to just go get after every dollar, even though obviously they are. But the best way for us to do it is like this.
It's the only way to make money in TV anymore because everything else is on demand and people watching YouTube and stuff. So they're taking their absolute fastball and putting it on as many, you know, primetime platforms as possible.
All right, so you have a couple of wide receivers in the news. We'll start Justin Jefferson. Obviously been in talks with the Vikings about a new contract, not spotted at the team's training facility today for their start of organized team activities. So you have like 20-plus teams getting started today with their OTAs. Justin Jefferson not in attendance. That is no surprise. We'll see how long it takes for him to get the contract, but he knows he's trying to be the highest paid wide receiver in the sport. And I'm sure the Vikings are trying to head in that direction as well, but he's not gonna be showing up to OTAs until that thing gets done, understandably so. And then you also have Rashee Rice actually attending and participating in all activities today in Kansas City, that from Adam Schefter. So Rashee Rice, I mean, I guess that makes plenty of sense until there's some type of suspension laid down. If you're able to work with the team, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So him getting in there, getting the work in, and it remains to be seen what that suspension is going to look like.
I believe that his suspension, we will not know about it until the final cutdown. You know, when they have to reduce the rosters, I don't think we'll know anything. I think they're going to keep it. They're going to keep allowing him to the training camp and all that, and then they'll get to the final cut, and then they'll say, okay, you have to put him on the reserve suspended list, mm-hmm. and it's going to be for 8 games. I have a feeling that we're going to go through this whole summer and not know his fate until the very final cut. That's when we'll know.
Wow. They're just going to drag it out? I mean,
I don't think they're going to, they have no reason to come with it early. I don't believe it reminds me very similar about what we saw. The NFL tends to, and this I remember with Ezekiel Elliott and others, you know, that we get to the final cuts and then all of a sudden you get the waiver wire and there's like 10 guys that are on suspended lists, you know, and you're like suspended a game, 3 games, 5, whatever. I have a feeling the league is just going to let this thing ride until the final cut. And they're going to say, okay, you now have to put him. He's going to get 8 games.
I've always thought that the leagues and teams should be going as hands-off with this as possible. Some turn into PR nightmares, and you have to act, and that's where it gets tough, like in a situation like this. You know, there is now an expectation from the fans that you're going to have a punishment as well, or you're going to suspend the guy as well. So they're going to wait for the longest possible time. I agree with Brian. Right before the rosters are due, we'll probably figure out what that suspension is. But, man, I would just be – because so many of these get weird and the NFL suspends when there's no actual, like, legal prosecution happening – I would try to get out of this business as much as possible. I don't want to be in Law and Order. Is the guy in jail? Okay, he can play. That is how I would try to position myself if I was sport. Like, listen, we have to let the courts and the laws do their job. And if, you know, if we're going to pretend like all of our players have to be perfect people in order to participate in these games on Sundays, then we should be, you know, holding our owners to that standard. You know, it's just rife with all this hypocrisy and double standards, Chief. I'd want to get out of that game as much as possible from the league.
Well, it's Rashee Rice. It's Justin Jefferson in the news. And then it's also Marvin Harrison Jr. This is an interesting one. Fanatics has filed a lawsuit against the rookie, Cardinals rookie Marvin Harrison Jr. for an alleged breach of contract. And the filing has been heavily redacted. The sports apparel and memorabilia brand claims it is an agreement worth more than $1 million with Marvin Harrison Jr. dating back to May of last year. It's an NIL situation dating back from his college days. And Harrison's team denies the existence of the agreement. So, but throughout the draft process, you know, he was kind of doing his own thing, not doing the combine, all that kind of stuff. This is kind of the latest because Harrison has yet to sign a preliminary licensing agreement with the NFLPA, which is standard practice for anticipated draftees. The licensing agreement would allow Harrison's name and likeness to be monetized. So, like, right now, you can't buy a Cardinals Marvin Harrison Jr. jersey, because he hasn't signed whatever he's supposed to sign there, the licensing agreement stuff with the NFLPA. So Fanatics, who are the ones that are selling these jerseys, they're saying you're breaching the deal that we made with you in college with this NIL stuff. We can't even sell your NFL jersey right now. They're alleging that they have an NIL deal with him that I guess carries into his time into the NFL. Like, I don't know. Wow. This is so... Like, the NFL's not doing anything about it. Like, the fact that he hasn't signed the licensing agreement yet and you can't get Cardinals jerseys, the NFL, I guess, can't do anything punishment-wise. But because he had the NIL deal already with Fanatics. Fanatics is coming after him. Like, dude, we got to get these jerseys on the rack here. So this is a
okay.
The first of its kind, you know, with NIL stuff. This is how it gets a little bit convoluted sometimes.
So he signs a multi-year NIL deal and leaves college before that deal is up.
That's what Fanatics is alleging. Him and his team are saying we never even had a deal. So ultimately, if there's a legit deal in place,
there's some kind of binding thing that they said they had with him. And and maybe it's not a physical contract, but some kind of a binding. I don't know. I was hearing some people discuss that it was kind of a verbal thing. It wasn't.
Well, if the NFL's not printing jerseys, are they just waiting for this to resolve itself? Or could Harrison just go sign the deal?
I guess he can just go sign the deal and then everything will be fine.
Right.
But he's got.
But Fanatics would take the NFL to court or him to court over this?
Yeah, I guess it would be him.
Yeah. I think probably attorneys want to get this resolved before any further signatures are done.
Fanatics said in the suit that they had paid Marvin Harrison Jr. in August and in October of last year. But the brand claims that Harrison has refused to fulfill his obligations despite several requests from Fanatics over the past few months. The suit claims that Harrison has rejected or ignored every request. Meanwhile, he is selling signed memorabilia through the official Harrison Collections website. So he's got his own website selling things. Hmm. Items include photos and jerseys and helmets. And so, and then it reads on the site, Cardinals memorabilia coming soon. Hmm. And it states that it is the only website to purchase signed Marvin Harrison Jr. memorabilia. Hmm. So he's doing the business thing that is now kind of a gray area that we haven't seen anybody, you know, broach before. And I don't know. I guess if there was an agreement in place with Fanatics, I'm sure they'll have some level of a leg to stand on. But him and his team are completely denying the existence of it at all. So a bit of a weird situation there with Marvin Harrison Jr.
I don't know this. Maybe I'm just throwing it out there to see if you guys know. If he's cashing checks from Fanatics, he really didn't have a leg to stand on, does he?
I don't know. I don't even know how he
got money two separate times and went into an account for him, wouldn't that tell you that they had some type of an agreement?
Yes. You
know, I mean, that's where I'm kind of...
It's just, what was that agreement for? Yeah, did he actually come through on whatever the agreement was and now you're trying to get more out of him, or has he not come through?
See, that's what I'm saying. I think if you're cashing these checks, that would mean, I would feel like that, you know what, we probably had a deal on this, so...
Yeah, he probably thinks that, you know, that deal was while I was in college.
Right.
And now I'm in the pros. So, I don't know. Confusing deal. I'd love to get my hands on the contract so we could review it.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one to monitor, but that was all materializing sort of over the weekend here. And speaking of memorabilia and things, how much do you guys think we have Tom Brady's used Buccaneers pants from his final NFL game? So, these are the pants that the Cowboys whooped his tail in. And they're going to be auctioned. What do you think this is going to end up going for? Now, his jersey from that, what do you think his jersey went for? His jersey had already been sold. Final game-worn jersey.
Can you give me the price of the jersey?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking you. That's the only price I have, because the pants, are going up for auction now, so we'll see what they...
No, give me the price of the jersey.
The jersey, that's what I want you to guess. He just guessed $100,000.
Okay.
What do you think it went for? They auctioned off.
I'm going to go $215,000.
$1.4 million.
What?
Oh, my goodness.
Is what the jersey went for. Wow. So, I don't know.
Here's your sign.
Is the pants worth more or less? You would think the jersey would be worth much more than the
pants. Let me tell you this. If I own the jersey, I'm going after the pants, too.
For sure.
If I could spend $1.5 million on a jersey, I'm going to try and buy the pants to have the complete set, is what I'm going to do.
There you go.
But nobody else is bidding against you. Right? Nobody else has the jersey that wants the pants, so you just need to beat the highest bid for the pants, then I'm going to put it $75,000.
And then
I'm
going to say, you don't know the price of the pants? Do you do or you
No,
don't?
We don't know yet. Okay. Those are going up for auction, but our reference point was the jersey, which was also from the final game.
That's probably going to be a couple $100,000.
You get the pants, you get the jersey, then you can build like some sort of Tom Brady mannequin in your man cave. I don't know. It's a very weird situation.
Then you sell the complete set. I've got the pants and the jersey.
You want to know that these things haven't been washed, too, if you're putting money down on the jersey or the pants? You want to know these are as game-worn and official, or do you want them to be laundered?
I think they've probably been laundered. That would be my guess.
Wouldn't you prefer them to be legit blood, sweat, and tears? Gatorade spills?
I think the super fan that wants to buy these would prefer no launder.
Yeah.
But does Tom selling this, or who's selling this?
Whatever auction.
Is it
doesn't
Heritage?
Say who's selling it. I don't know who's actually.
I'm saying if somebody, if it's game, you're selling it as game worn, but my guess is everything's probably been laundered. That would be my guess.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate because I think even in like in Canton, right, when they send jerseys or whatever to Canton, sure. You got the grass stains on there.
Oh, hey, man.
You know what I mean?
You win the Daytona 500.
Yeah.
The car goes into the museum as is. No, like with all the tire, all the marks on it and wear and tear, it just goes
as it should. I think the value's higher with it that way.
Yeah, goes right in the museum.
Yeah. Jaguars are apparently all in on Trevor Lawrence, engaged in contract talks, expected to be in the $50 million a year range. So that another quarterback could be coming up the pike here before too long. Everybody wondering kind of what's the deal. I guess with the Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence, you're kind of like, I mean, what are you going to do? You're
going to just not sign them? That fifth-year option already.
So. Right. And they usually want to build that into the contract to just help spread the money however they want to. But I would imagine before the season gets going, Trevor Lawrence will be locked up on a fatty boomba. There is your NFL news of the day.
Thank you, Chiafalo. It's time now for the C-Note, the Cowboys news of the evening. Does this guy qualify as a possible breakout player of the year? And what's Broaddus going to be looking for with OTAs getting underway a little bit later on this week? We'll talk about those. Maybe we'll talk about the fight that we had in sports over the weekend as well. That's next in the Nation.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door. In as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. Segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car today, carsforkids.org. It's also brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel are the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one has been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to truckwreck.com. Do have a little bit of a C-note. Cowboys news of the evening. Do you think we're going to get both the Stars and the Mavs in the final?
Can we be that lucky? I think, can you be that lucky? Gosh, I don't know. Some cities are like, yeah, you can be that lucky. I've never experienced that. I would feel like one of the luckiest sports fans in all the world, having both of my teams playing simultaneously in their respective championship series. That's going to be incredible. I do think it's more likely that you get both of them than you get none of them.
Yeah. I mean, we're due. We've definitely paid our dues. You know, well, you're looking at 13 years of collective suffering here, Brian.
Well, I'm the guy that said abs in six, so I didn't think the Stars would get this far. But if you look at the matchups and talking to people that cover the National Hockey League, they will tell you that the matchups really do favor the Stars against Edmonton, and they also favor against Vancouver.
Do we have any dynasty potential here with either of these teams, or are we trying to get one?
Man, I will tell you this. The youth of the Dallas Stars is super impressive. If you go through the ages of their players, 21, 23, 24, 25, you know, I mean, they've got a veteran mix of the Jamie Benns and guys like that, and, you know, Joe Pavelski and people, you know, the older dudes, Sagan. But they've also got a really good nucleus for their young guys. Mm-hmm. And they're also, their minor league has had success as well. So, you know,
the pipeline is pretty strong.
Yeah. Here. Jim Neal and those guys have done a pretty solid job of putting together really good teams, drafting well, you know, making some trades. We'll see how, you know, things play out overall, but you got a young goalie, you know, you got some young defensemen.
I mean, Wyatt Johnston, him and Miro, those are cornerstone pieces. I think for both, that is one of those fun things. And you never know. And it's obviously early with the Rangers right now, but we were very excited about the prospects moving forward here for years on end with what the Rangers are cooking. And I think we're all still pretty optimistic about what this is going to end up looking like, but you just understand how difficult it is starting to project out how many can you start stacking these things up. Just trying to get one right now is certainly the focus, but there is optimism that, you know, you're not just, hey, this is a last ditch effort. It's if you don't win, this is all getting blown up and there's nothing but veterans here. And we've been trying to hack away for years and years and years. There's a bunch of young dudes here that are coming back, and that's exciting because this isn't just going to be one and done situations on both sides.
This is a great question for the 214. The question is, if the Mavs and Stars win and join the Rangers, how much pressure is on Mike McCarthy from Jerry Jones? Does Jerry fire him if they lose?
I think he's, you know, McCarthy has a lot of pressure, but if he does another 11-12 win season, I think he's going to stick around for the consistency of it. That would be four hell of a seasons in a row, especially since it's a rebuild.
If they somehow win the division and then have a playoff exit again, I think Stephen Jones, he heard the crowd this year. Mm. He heard the fans. He's come on our station and talked about, hey, I understand, you know, I get it. The fans, I understand their anger towards us. You know, it's been a long time.
Firing Mike McCarthy won't change that, though. The fans now are sharp enough. The fans, thanks to us harping on it for last decade.
I think it depends on who they hire.
Yeah.
I think it depends on, you've got to, you know, this could be a situation because this could be a really.
But they're not paying enough attention to hire the right guy, Brian. They're going to hire a legacy dude and be like, look at this, Belichick. Yeah. Is that what you're excited about? Yeah. No. We want Ben, what's his name, in Detroit.
Yeah.
That's who we want, right? What's his name? Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson.
Yeah. I think, you know, you need to change how you're going about it as a front office and change the kinds of coaches you're going to hire to get me on board.
I will disagree with you on the legacy hire.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why I'll disagree with you. Because I don't think, as I ranted that one day, the legacy hire has his way of doing things. And I don't think the Cowboys want to do that. I think I think this front office wants to do it their way. And if you hire a young coach, you can control a young coach.
Okay.
So they might go after a Ben Johnson. Hmm. And maybe not a Belichick, because if they bring Belichick in here again, it's going to be, well, hey, I used to evaluate players this way, and I used to coach the team this way, and I used to, you know. Unless Steven and Will have changed, I personally don't feel like they will hire somebody that they can control.
Hmm.
That's how I look at it right now.
Well, it is a good segue into the C-note here, the Cowboys news of the evening. The Frankel Firm injury attorney text line is open if you want to fire in on that, 877-881-1053. We will also have a 6 o'clock sound off coming up for you here in just over 2.5 hours if you would prefer to, you know, fire your thoughts in via the phone lines that way. But OTA starting for the Cowboys this week. Everybody but CeeDee Lamb is going to be there, Brian. What kind of things are you looking for?
Well, this is the opportunity. I'll be out there on Thursday. And this will be, they have a day tomorrow that I can't because of our show. But hopefully somebody from the station will. I think people go out there and watch practice. But I'm looking forward to the practice on Thursday where you get to see the rookies interact with the veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can kind of get a little bit of a better idea of how they're going to allow these rookies to practice. And I mean, practice is, okay, is Carson, he's a right corner. Who is he practicing with? Is he practicing with guys that are similar rookies or undrafted free agent guys, or do they have him with the second crew?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or how are these, you know, what's the offensive line rotation at center? Is BB the first center with Hoppin the second, or is, you know, I personally, I think Hoppin's probably going to be the first one out of the chute. I'd be interested to see if Guyton will be the first tackle out of the chute.
Can you tell any possible scheme changes? Are there early signs of that in OTAs?
It's not like training camp, but I feel like you could get an idea of how they're looking to play guys and then how they're looking to match up. Like, if all of a sudden we see Nealon working with the ones and the twos at right end,
yeah,
they're thinking about, okay, we got to stop this run. We're gonna try and be better against the run, because they haven't been good enough on the edges. I mean, they're good at left end with Tank playing the run. They haven't been nearly good enough at right end. But yeah, if you start to see a lot of Sam Williams and all that, I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe the focus is really not about the run right now.
Maybe it's just a Tank replacement for that side.
Yeah, exactly.
Could see that.
Yeah.
I sure hope they make sure they at least have a good package to send in if they're getting gashed. I don't need it to be your primary plan on defense, but I need you to be better than they were. Okay, how about this headline? A dark horse to win the wide receiver 3 job for the Cowboys is being overlooked. That's the headline from Mario Herrera Jr. Inside the Star. Turpin had 22 touches on offense last year, 10 rushes, 12 catches, averaged 10 yards per touch, literally a first down every time he got the ball, on average. Ryan Flournoy, there are other in-house options. We'll see. You know, we'll see what these guys can have, but they're unanswered. Maybe Turpin's the most accomplished guy that they have. What do you think, guys? You like that, the sound of that?
Yeah, I mean, he's the guy that I like the most. I think they certainly want to have Jalen Tolbert, being a guy that they drafted pretty high a couple of years ago. I think they would, in their perfect world, he would be a guy that really rises to the occasion. I would imagine wide receiver 3 ends up being a little bit more of like the running back room, a little bit by committee. I don't know that it'll probably be a package a package basis for each one of these guys, but I do think Turpin is the guy with certainly the most juice, the guy that gives you the biggest threat for big plays and touchdowns. I thought like his growth from the previous year to just being a special team dude to a guy that can actually impact your offense if you actually can, you know, get a little bit creative and putting him in motion and moving him around, like his speed, and he showed that he can catch the ball. I think that's a guy that, I don't know that he's your every down wide receiver 3, but I think we'll all at the end of the season say he was your best one.
I don't know if they're going to have a wide receiver 3. And I agree with you about the various packages and stuff like that until they figure something out. I don't know if they really want to go that small. If you put Turpin and Brandon Cooks out there, you're pretty small on the outside, you know, and you're pretty small inside there too. So, I mean, being small inside is not a problem. Being small outside is a problem. So, to me, I don't know how much, but I could see them saying, okay, We'll use Turpin for this, or we'll use Jalen Brooks for this, or Flournoy. They're going to have to figure out some things, but I think you're going to see a little bit of a committee. But I don't think you want to be too small on the outside. And with Cooks and Turpin, you kind of have a little bit of a problem with that, I think.
So how do you get around that? Do you think they play more 12, or do you think they just have guys for specialized routes?
You just play with a bigger receiver. The third then is Tolbert or Flournoy, or somebody steps up in that role. I don't know if they want to go to battle and say, okay, our 11 personnel group is two small, two tiny guys, and we don't know what's going to happen with, be honest with you, what's going to happen with Lamb. You know, I mean, that's right now an unknown. You want to say that he's probably going to sign and they'll work it out and all that, but, you know, who knows? But I kind of feel like, man, if you're playing Cooks and Turpin an extensive period of time, boy, you're pretty small on the outside.
CD knows you can't lose him, you know, and he and his agent are playing their leverage at the best possible time. I mean, your offense looked inept without him. So you really can't blame him, and the organization will probably drag its feet and, you know, get a decent deal done before too long. But hopefully it doesn't stop their momentum, you know. If I was Dak, I'd be like, hey, man, remember when I had that big contract dispute and I still had you over to the Dak yard, didn't miss any OTAs, didn't miss any practices? How about a little reciprocation, dude, because we really, you know, need you to bring this thing together if we're going to have any shot. Okay, what else do we have here? Jake Ferguson on being a breakout player, to me, I'm not even scratching my surface. There's so many things that I want to get better at that I know I can get better. It's unbelievable how accomplished he is. He's only going into his third year, eighth in the NFL last year among tight ends in total yards, yards per game, and he was tied for sixth with five touchdowns. Can Jake Ferguson get significantly better from this and join that elite group?
Yeah, their tight end room is actually pretty impressive when you look at it. They might, this be one of those positions where, you know, Stephen Jones always says, oh, it's going to be a tough cut. But if you look at Ferguson, you know, we'll see with Schoonmaker in the shoulder, so you kind of maybe he's going to be a little bit behind. I think this is really the last hurrah for Hendershot. John Stevens Jr., they absolutely loved and talked about making this team, last year until he hurt his knee. Princeton Fant is a guy that was kind of coming on, and they really liked him. Was kind of a practice squad guy. Bevin Spanford could be a guy that makes his team because of his blocking ability. He's the free agent from Minnesota. Got great size. If he has any kind of development as a route runner and is catching the football, this room is pretty deep with bodies to be able. I don't know if they're going to be able.
But what changes it is if you become Kelce, right? If you're like, hey, I'm Jake Ferguson, I'm a try-hard guy who produces a lot, I'm a superstar.
He is well on his way. He is well on his way to being one of the top tight ends in this. But I'm just saying overall position, I think it's actually they're going to have to make a tough decision. There's a lot of guys on that tight end room that they really, really like, and they might have to put one or two guys out there that – you know, end up having pretty decent training camps for him.
Yeah, I think Ferguson's heading for superstardom, I feel like. And how do you level up from what you did? I mean, I guess it's obviously getting more and more opportunities and just building. Like, one of the things that you know with a Gronk and a Brady or a Kelce and Mahomes, obviously you're talking about two GOAT quarterbacks, so let's cast that aside for a second. But just the chemistry and the connection between them. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially if CeeDee Lamb's going to be out here, I imagine in these OTAs, you'll see, I mean, Dak, who's my guy? It's going to be Ferguson, them two being on the exact same page with each other. That's how that can get even better, I would say. But I think he's heading that way for sure.
817 says, bro, the Cowboys haven't won a thing. The Mavs and Stars are in the Western Conference Finals. Yeah, we talked the first half of the segment about them, and I love talking Mavs and Stars with you. I think we got one text about that. We mentioned the Cowboys for 4 minutes and a couple of throwaway comments, and it's just like the text is lighting up with takes, you know? So we are the home of the Cowboys. The Cowboys TV ratings are about 10 times as good as the Stars and Mavs. Everybody is in on the Cowboys. I know for a lot of people, like, the biggest thing in their sports world is the Mavs or the Stars, and we respect that. So that's why, you know, we try to talk about them as much as possible. But you know, the Cowboys are never going to be far from our perspective. When we return, Chief, what are we going to do next?
Best of the weekend funnies, including a Bluey fiasco and Walchuk's big effing mistake next here in the Nation.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, thank you, Lucius. It's coming up at 4 o'clock. Most important matchups of the conference finals for the Mavericks. Here's Chief with a weekend report.
Hey, it looks like we got ourselves a little schedule change here. It's just been announced that the Minnesota Twins today, they have shifted the start time. Friday's matchup versus the Rangers. The Rangers are going to be in Minnesota taking on the Twins. It was supposed to be a 7:10 first pitch Central time. They move it back an hour to 6:10. So it'll be 6:10 first pitch Friday night between the Rangers and the Twins right here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Apparently they're moving the first pitch time up by 1 hour because they wanted to help accommodate all of the downtown Minneapolis traffic that is going to be expected, because you'll have game two of the Western Conference Finals with the T-Wolves and the Mavericks. So it'll be a big Minnesota versus Texas sports weekend, if you will. So that's just a little housekeeping note there for you. Speaking of cities, I think the worst of the weekend certainly goes to the city of Denver. It's a tough way to go sports-wise. Avalanche on Friday, and then yesterday, they were up by so much in that game. being, you know, on your home court in game seven as the champion, and you're up by double digits at halftime.
Yeah.
And then that, cruising. To let that get away from you, that's gut wrenching. So for as good as a weekend as we had here as the city of Dallas.
Yeah.
Bad for the city of Denver.
Yeah, they were bumped, you know, and they talked about how much it sucked. And I think as defending champs, you know, so close to the top seed, you don't quite get it, but you know, you have home court here in the second round. I think they were genuinely surprised at how that came together. But, you know, Malone talked about it after the game, how good this Timberwolves defense was. And in the games that they lost, they averaged 85 points. Denver did.
Yeah.
Which is kind of terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, the Timberwolves defense is the real deal. We'll get into the matchups here in a few minutes. But, yeah, their defense is no joke. And you're really talking about two teams that can win with their defense. Win with their defense. Okay, we didn't shoot the three ball very well. Okay, our superstars didn't come to play, you know, at the height of their powers offensively. No problem. We can win with our defense here and a couple of role players maybe knocking down a few shots. But, yeah, it's going to be tough sledding on both sides, and that's why this is so fun because you have such star power offensively with Luka and Kyrie, and then, of course, with what the Timberwolves have, especially in Anthony Edwards. But defensively, that's where both these teams are hanging their hat right now. So
Yeah. And, you know, I think the Mavs' impact defensively is going to be way bigger than all these pundits believe. I think they're totally out to lunch with their predictions. Again, more on that coming up at 4.
Best out of the weekend, we will award that momentarily. It's not going to be Walchuk. Now, Walchuk's out for the week on paternity leave, taking care of his little one as his wife goes back to work for the first time since having little baby Eliza. So he's got his hands full. He made a giant effing mistake over the weekend that we have the sound of, and I look forward to playing you that. But first, I want to take you to Vegas, where over the weekend you had a very popular local Las Vegas restaurant called Dirt Dog. I guess they do like craft hot dogs. You know, like everybody talks about the craft beer, but it's the craft hot dog is actually really, really having a moment right now. And Dirt Dog is very popular in Vegas, and they had this huge Bluey themed event that they were doing, and they were marketing this for all the families. You get this, Dawson. I mean, Bluey's popping right now.
That's a great show.
It's a great show.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's a great show. It's an Australian show. I think they got the best intro music. I should have pulled the intro music to the Bluey.
Yeah.
The Bluey music. I absolutely love it. But this is hugely popular. I don't know a child that doesn't like the cartoon. This restaurant is doing like, hey, we're going to have Bluey's going to be here, basically. Like, we're at Disneyland and it's Mickey Mouse. We got the mascot. Like, you're expecting, they're teeing it up like this is a huge Bluey event, face painting, all these awesome things, only to arrive and find out that this is just basically a dude whose beard is showing and he's wearing Bluey pajamas. And this brought out thousands of people.
My goodness.
This restaurant did not understand just how big this was going to be, and then everybody is left upset. This is Fox 5 in Vegas addressing
Bluey kids.
The Bluey fiasco.
They wanted their own family-friendly day with cartoon character Bluey. They expected a few dozen people and regulars. Thousands RSVP'd. Hundreds of families were left fuming and say kids were disappointed. The restaurant spoke to Fox 5 and says they want to say sorry to all the families, and they underestimated the power of Bluey.
When I saw him, I just ignored him. I was mad.
What did he look like? The cartoon? Did he look like what? Like on TV?
No, he looked like unexpected. We could like see his beard.
Sophia and other kids had the same reaction. The Bluey they expected was not who greeted them. On the left, this is a photo a parent took at an event with the popular cartoon character Bluey. On the right, it's a staff member of Dirt Dog in a makeshift Bluey costume.
The kids were distraught. Some kids were crying. Some kids were upset, crying in their parents' shoulders.
3,000 people RSVP'd on the Facebook event. Crowds poured in for hours. There were lines outside in the heat. Inside, concerns about capacity. From the face painting to baked goods, many parents say they were underwhelmed, and the free stuff got snatched up quickly.
How could you do that to little kids? It was a very upsetting moment to see so many kids, especially my daughter, just really upset.
Dirt Dog apologized on social media and says they welcome feedback. Angry parents posted plenty of livid messages. Thanks for ruining my 3-year-old's day. I drove 1 hour just to see a grown man in PJs.
just a true nightmare situation. They underestimated the power of Bluey. You cannot do false advertisement like Bluey's going to be here, and all of a sudden it's just some random schmo in Bluey pajamas, okay? Thousands of people, you're waiting in line. What a nightmare.
We're in Vegas, right?
You're in Vegas.
You're in Vegas. Yeah. Why don't they get the Blue Man Group to show up?
That would have been better.
That could have been a substitute.
I mean, you're still getting tears from kids.
If it's Bluey, Blue Man Group, you know, maybe a substitute.
Well, not for the kids. I mean, the parents might have enjoyed it.
Okay, what is Bluey?
He's a cartoon dog. Blue cartoon dog.
Cartoon dog.
Cartoon dog family out of Australia that speaks English. I don't know what's confusing about that.
No, I'm just wondering. I've never seen. I don't know what Bluey is.
I'm just busting your balls, dude.
I don't.
I only know it because it's. I mean, everybody. All these kids love it.
Like the big red dog. I mean,
Clifford.
What's the catch with Bluey?
Well, I think the kids do, at least over here. I think they appreciate the accent because who doesn't? And then it's just like it's a family that is usually trying to get their kids to do the right thing. Yeah, ultimately, yeah. There's some good life lessons involved there. Yeah.
Kids are the other dogs are collaborating to solve problems.
Yeah,
good healthy. I mean, this sounds like a nightmare though. The only thing worse is if
talking
Blippi
dogs
showed up.
Here. We got talking dogs here.
Oh, the Blippi thing. Yeah,
you got a lot of talking dogs.
That would have been a disaster. Yeah, you got talking dogs here. But that is just too funny. Any parent probably sitting there just, oh my gosh, what a day that we just wasted here trying to make the kids happy, and now they're throwing tantrums. We're looking at a guy in his Bluey pajamas. This is ridiculous. Speaking of ridiculous, here's Carter Freeman throwing up some footage of an AAU dad who is seen coaching probably his son's basketball team while his other son is on his back. He's got a baby on his back. If you see this video here, you will see, imagine Dawson, you coach on the weekends. You know how this is. Imagine babysitter bails on you, but you got a big game.
Sure.
And so now you basically have the built-in piggyback ride for your toddler as you go coach away for your middle school child. Look at that. Look at that dad of the weekend right there.
Man, that is cool. He's got one of those backpack thingies that's kind of like a backpack that your kid goes into. Those kill me. I'd probably just go with holding, or maybe I'd put it down in a stroller and strap that thing in, but whatever it takes to keep coaching. That's super dad of the weekend right there.
I hope he's a dad gummit dad. You can't be just firing off coach speak while you got your kids sitting right there on your back hearing your every word.
How about like you're in the huddle trying to draw up plays and you're kneeling down in there?
All of a sudden,
and you got the baby
then on you
the
get
back.
A blowout situation in the middle of the huddle. The
I think football would be too intense. These are what appears to be 12 to 13 year old boys. I think you're barely inside the range of what the toddler could handle at that point.
Yes, 214 ball absolutely is life for this local AAU dad. What would Coach Dawson do in this scenario for real though? Would you just like, hey, some dad, you're gonna have to do this, and I'll be your assistant here because I gotta hold the baby.
Yeah,
or you can just leave the baby at home, maybe.
Okay, so if I was at PSA, you gotta have these cards, right? And if you don't have a coach with a card, then you gotta forfeit, right? So I'd probably bring a mom over to hold the baby on the bench while I coach. Probably what I'd do.
Very Harrison Butker of you. Mm. All right, let's go ahead.
I'm not a good baby holder. I see these either. Moms hold their babies for like 2 hours, and I'm like, you got to be like so conditioned for that.
You do. Yeah, it is crazy. My wife's always getting, onto me on the weekends, but now I'm like really on the daddy duty, and I'm carrying this baby around, and I'm like complaining about it. Like, I just can't put this baby down. She's like, I'm doing that all day. Don't talk about your arms being tired.
Have you thought about getting the backpack thing? That looks pretty handy.
We went to the zoo recently, and we saw some people with that, and I don't know.
The backpack thing or the kid on the leash?
Yeah, the leash one is a step too far. Yeah,
that one at the airport, I kind of freak out a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
I'm a big fan of the stroller or the shopping cart, I think that's the way to go
Shopping cart.
No, it was a hip.
Hip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I'm not Lord built
knows,
for that.
Lord knows that maybe won't happen again.
When it comes to carrying babies, women are the stronger of the sexes. How about that for some progressive takes here?
Yeah.
There you go.
After last week's debacle.
Get him, Harrison.
Clean my act up.
This is the sound.
I hate teachers.
This is the sound of Wolchuk's big effing mistake. This is a guy who is on the BetQL radio network, aired on hundreds and hundreds of radio stations throughout America. He's mailing it in. This is the second to last segment of the day. He's about to go on paternity leave for the week. He knows he's done. He's here on a Sunday. He doesn't want to be here. Listen to him confuse the segments that he's teasing and then completely make the biggest error that you possibly could on the air.
so damn skinny there on Fury. I mean, that's something we haven't even talked about, but Usyk with a massive KO.
Dominated him.
Watch that. I mean, the first half of that fight, I thought it was all him. All right, coming up next, Crowley. Let's go into the corner or whatever the fuck questions with him.
Zach Woolchuck and Eric Shields.
Are you kidding me, dude? That is how he dismounted a segment and teased us into the commercial break. We'll go into the corner with Crowley, which is actually Carter Freeman's segment. We do Carter's corner. We do questions with Crowley. He got mixed up. We're supposed to be doing questions with Crowley, the other producer. He goes, we'll go into the corner with Crowley or whatever the bleep. I couldn't
believe
that.
Sleep-deprived bully. I mean, he's doing morning drive with a newborn, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. And, again, this is two segments away. You can taste your week off of not having to talk into a microphone.
He was already on vacation.
My gosh, how egregious was that?
Excellent stuff. We really enjoyed you guys working that morning show, though. That was awesome. And salute to Lucius Alexander for joining us Friday afternoon at the ballpark. We had a hell of a time as well. Okay, most important matchups of the conference finals for the Mavs. Do we have a guy to slow down that dude who's taking his game to the next level here in this postseason? It's coming up next. G-Back Nation and the Fan.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.